All right, hi everyone. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you all here on the beautiful Thursday, November 7th, 2024, 5 o'clock on Pacific time here, on Standard Time now. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is our first Thursday of the month meditation gathering. And thank you all for joining us. I think we'll go ahead and jump in. I forgot to announce this a few places sometimes where I do, because this one is really open to the general public. And I usually post it on my Facebook page, but I was busy with other projects, so it didn't happen. So it might just be us, which is great. We have a good core group here, and it's delightful to see you. Thank you, Lisa, for helping to co-host as we go along. And this is our last gathering for the meditation session that we have here in California at our home. From now on, like when we start in December, the first Thursday of December, we will be somewhere, I can't remember where, somewhere in Arizona or whatever, or maybe in Oklahoma, I think. So, but we will have on the third Thursday, it'll be the 21st, and then we leave the 22nd. So we'll have one more gathering here for us anyway at the piano. So I'm saying all that because I'm glad that we have the use of the piano for the meditation. And then we'll go ahead and open it up for your questions. I also was thinking I might do a little bit of a presentation on music and meditation and the healing power of music, something like that. So we'll go ahead and just have a short meditation to start with that we like to do. And as everyone knows, this is only 1 hour long maximum. And it's also an opportunity for us to share, kind of keeping it away somewhat from politics and all kinds of hysteria that's probably happening out there in the world, and focus more on the spiritual dimension of things, which is, as Gandhi said, of course, anyone who, I guess you all know the saying, anyone who thinks spirituality and politics are not intimately connected does not understand politics or spirituality. But I think how we live our lives, that's really the way we can be politically effective. And thank you all for your dedication to compassion for animals and all beings. So let's go ahead and start the meditation. I'm sitting here at the piano, and this should be working. So feel free as we begin. You can have your cameras on or off, however you'd like. Let's go ahead and get started here. Right, good. So let's become aware of our breathing, our good old friend, our breath. As we become aware of our breathing, we allow ourselves to relax our minds, relax our bodies, relax our feelings, and enter more deeply into our heart, the heart of our own true nature, the eternal, infinite being that we are. Abiding in the heart of this very present moment, letting go of all the concerns that maybe were focusing our attention earlier, all the projects and so forth, and give thanks to the infinite love, the source of our life and the source of all life, knowing that what we are is an emanation of this infinite divine love that all living beings are related, that we all have the same source, and so we give thanks for the abundance of joy in this moment of harmony and peace, knowing that our true nature is vast like the sky and can never be harmed by the coming and goings of clouds or birds or missiles. Any delusions knowing that we are here on this earth to fulfill a unique mission that is our mission. And so we give thanks for the whole human family, especially for all those brothers and sisters working together to help raise awareness about the many benefits of loving kindness and respect for all living beings. And we give thanks for the whole web of life and all of the animals celebrating their lives here, the enormous intelligence that streams through all living beings as they fulfill their purposes in the many communities of life here on this earth. And we give thanks also to ourself for taking our own spiritual awakening seriously enough to take time out of our busy schedules to be right here. We give thanks for the infinite light that shines at the heart of the universe and shines also in our heart, in every cell of our being. And guides us as our inner guidance system to unfold the beautiful life and to be a blessing in our world in our unique way. And so we join together now to enter into our true home . Entering into loving kindness, and with every inhalation we engender this feeling of love for all living beings, a feeling of benevolence and kindness, goodwill, and wishing the best that all beings be happy and have all the causes of happiness. And with every exhalation, we allow this feeling of love to radiate from our heart, filling the whole world with love . Breathing and radiating love and sending it to all living beings. Abiding in love, our true home. And with every inhalation, we engender the feeling of compassion, the great yearning that others be free from suffering, from delusion, from exploitation, and the yearning to act to help relieve their suffering. And with every exhalation, we radiate compassion to the whole world, breathing and radiating compassion, knowing that compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere, abiding in our true home, abiding in compassion for all life, savoring the beauty all around us and within us, so that we arrive in joy, and with every inhalation engendering the feeling of joy, the great joy that is our true nature, and with every exhalation we allow this joy to radiate, filling our whole world with the truth of infinite joy, the joy of being, breathing and celebrating our lives and the beauty around us of all the animals and the ecosystems, all the plant beings, the trees and flowers. And the many dimensions of being. The great joy that arises when we understand that what we are can never be born or die or damaged. When we escape the delusion, the prison, misunderstanding. We abide in joy. And finally, now with every inhalation, we engender the feeling of peace, the great peace that arises as we enter our true home of love, compassion, and joy. We are at peace. So with every exhalation, now radiating together peace into our world, the truth that beyond all the appearances, to the contrary, there is the truth of infinite and eternal peace and harmony between all living beings. So abiding in all aspects of our true home, abiding in peace, seeing the whole earth bathed in the light of peace, abiding in love, abiding in compassion, abiding in joy, abiding in peace, breathing and radiating loving kindness, breathing and radiating compassion, breathing and radiating joy, breathing and radiating peace. Knowing that as we go forth now into our month, into the days ahead, we remember that we always have access to the inner wisdom that shines always in our heart. That we abide in our true home. We abide in love, compassion, joy, peace, freedom, gratitude, abundance, and truth. Giving thanks that we are part of the awakening of humanity during this very important time. We give thanks and so it is. Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate your awareness and attention as we join together in consciousness for the benefit of all living beings and do the best we can to be a force for healing and awakening and more deeply understanding our purpose on this earth at this time. All right, so as I mentioned before the meditation, those of you that came in during the meditation. Today is November 7th. I see a little sign came up that my internet connection is unstable. So I'm hoping everything is working. If not, just send me a message or in the chat, something like that. All right, so we'll hope for the best. We've had a few challenges with our internet lately. And so we'll see. All right, so what I'd like to do, first of all, I guess, is just see if there are any questions or comments or concerns that anyone has from the point of view of meditation, spirituality, vegan living, and in our society. I mean, the big news, of course, is that we're 2 days after the election, which a lot of people were saying, which I think is maybe true, one of the more important elections that we've had in a long time. Some people say it doesn't matter who wins. It's all a big scam anyway, but I think, I think, like I said last time, it's good to buy some time if we can so we can still talk to each other. And as you all know, I'm gratified at the outcome. And I really think that more than anything, it doesn't really change anything, except we still have to go forth and do our work and do the best we can to, as Gandhi said, to be the change we would like to see in the world, to cooperate with each other, work together, do the inner work of meditation, and try to live a life in harmony with the vegan ideals of nonviolence and compassion, to embody what veganism is rather than preaching about it so much. And I think if we succeed in that, we will have lived our life well, and no matter what craziness happens outside of us. So, yes, I see a hand is up. Gino, what would you like to share with us? Always good to see you here. Thanks so much for joining us. Yeah.
That's great to be here, and thanks for the beautiful meditation. And I find when we do these meditations, it's a great reminder right off the bat of, you know, who we are as vegans. And to me, being vegan is all about love. And we are love. I feel that. I don't always act that way, but I try really hard to. It can be a challenge.
It's always there.
You know, without getting into politics, I do want to say my observations of a lot of people after the election was that there was a lot of hate going on between people and blocking people. And, you know, my father won't talk to me anymore, or, you know, I don't want to with any activists that are vegan that voted for Trump or things like that. I've been seeing all of that. And I thought, well, you know, this falls right into the game plan, first of all. And second of all, I'll just confine it right now to the vegan community. It's just another way yet that humans, vegans, are finding a way to, you know, get the community. I'm trying to find the word. It should be right there. It's an easy word.
Divided.
Thank you. Divided. It's such a simple word.
Yeah.
And division. We don't need more division. And so even if you had contempt for either candidate, to still have high regard and love for your fellow activists. It's got to be. Because why? Because we're not, again, to remind everyone, we're doing this for the animals. Okay, it's not for our points of view on social issues or any of that. It's about the animals. We must keep it that way.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
I want to emphasize that. Thank you.
Right. I know it's such a challenge right now for people. And I think people think they're doing the right thing very often in acting in a moral, ethical way when they do things that are maybe more harmful, actually. Like, for example, just 2 days ago, it was right before the election, I think it was Monday maybe, I got, you know, we're going to be starting our lecture tour on Friday, the 22nd, and we're starting in Sacramento. And Sacramento has been a city that's been pretty divided. You know, there's been a lot of, like, sort of woke people who kind of hate me because I'm questioning the COVID narratives. So they didn't want me to speak at the Veg Fest and so forth. But there's also a whole group in Sacramento that's really into enthusiastic about health freedom. And so they're hosting me, giving a talk. And I'm really happy that Chef AJ, who's pretty well known, she will be there. Also Linda Middlesworth, who's quite well known too in the movement. And she was always one of the real champions of the World Peace Diet and always had me speaking there like every year. And then during COVID, she got furious and would never speak to me or let me ever do anything. But then it switched over. Now she's going to be there too. And but the woman who's organizing it, a woman named Peggy, she sent me this email that she had just received from some woman. I can't remember her name. I don't know who she is, pleading with her to please cancel my lecture and don't let Will Tuttle share anything because he's no longer really a vegan. The World Peace Diet was a great book, but now he's questioning science. He's voting for, he's supporting Trump and Trump. And then she gave this whole list of Trump. Trump is a rapist, a racist, a tyrant, a Hitler. How anyone could ever allow such a person to ever, have a platform is, you know, possible. So anyway, this just happened like a couple of days ago. And fortunately, Peggy said she wrote back to this woman and and said, "You know, I think you've been brainwashed by the mainstream media here." So, but anyway, it's I've been thinking about that because there's this kind of, I'm sure in her own mind, she was being very sincerely trying to help, really wanted to help protect people from misinformation that would maybe be coming out of my mouth and would harm people. But on the other hand, when I look at it, I feel it's a very cowardly thing to do. And very and it's kind of like gossiping. It's kind of like talking about people behind someone else's back, saying bad things about them, not saying it to their face. She didn't write to me and say, she could have said, "Well, I don't approve of what you're doing. Let's talk about it," or "Let's whatever." She it's like this going behind the back and canceling, this cancel culture. I really thought about it. I thought it's the most cowardly thing that vegans are supposed to be courageous. We're supposed to be questioning official narratives and being forthright and addressing things that if we don't agree with and talking about it. I'm happy to talk. If she wants to say what I am saying that's anti-science, tell me. What is it? I mean, I'd love to know. Really, fill me in. Come to the talk. I have a Q&A every time. You can raise your hand, you can ask a question, you can yell and scream about Trump or whatever you want, but I'm available. And it's the funniest thing. We have this has happened over and over again. I mean, I told you, like we people they wouldn't let anybody come to my talk just 2 weeks ago in Portland for the same reason. I don't know who it was. It was sort of done behind the scenes. They just wouldn't let any emails go out, wouldn't put it up on the website, so nobody knew about it. And even though the guy that organized it thought that Northwest Veg would promote it, somebody, some anonymous person, just sabotaged the whole thing and wouldn't let anybody know about it. And so there's this kind of, to me, it's this situation where we find ourselves, like you say, divided and fighting with each other, but everybody thinks they're right. I mean, I think they think they're right, but why not talk about these things? If you feel that I'm making a mistake in questioning the pharmaceutical industry or questioning the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates and so forth, Jimmy, show me some evidence and let's talk about it. I have a whole book, Food for Freedom. You can read about it. And so this is really, continuing to go on. And on one hand, it is disturbing to see the damage that it's doing to our movement. But on the other hand, I think the most important thing is to have love for these people, understanding, but also to point out that this is contrary to what veganism is really about, I think, because it's about love and respect for animals and for each other. And it's kind of interesting. There is this group, you may have heard of it. It's called the Vegan Community. It's kind of new. It's like a new platform. And they're having this guy named Peter Goldstein. And Sailesh Rao is someone we've talked about. And he's a friend of ours. And we don't agree on climate change. But but anyway, but other, he's a, he actually, he went vegan because he heard me give a lecture. And so he's been putting on these quarterly convergences. And so he asked, and Peter, the head of this whole thing, thought that it would be a good idea also, and he's talked to me about it anyway, to have a declaration of to unify the vegan movement. And he said, will you write the declaration that we can put out there to thousands and thousands of people, that everyone can read it and they can sign it if they agree, and we will unify the vegan movement. We'll stop all this division and infighting. We'll agree that we may have different approaches, but at the deeper level, we all are on the same side. So I did. I wrote this whole declaration with all these whereas, 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 therefore we declare. Yeah, he liked it, and Silesh also. They're presenting it, and it's going to go out there. And the underlying idea of the declaration really is what you're saying. It's to see that some people are going to emphasize the benefits of the health benefits of plant-based eating. Some people don't care about that. They're going to emphasize the environmental effects. Some people are only going to emphasize the cruelty to animals. They don't care about the other. Some people will want to be more forceful in their activism. Some people will want to be more spiritual. And the whole idea is that we're it's the underlying idea is that we're doing this to help raise awareness about animal abuse and health and so forth, and to have respect not only for animals but for each other in the way we do this and build a more solidified movement. So we'll see if this has any effect on the whole thing, but I feel encouraged that there is this basic feeling that's going through our movement, and we're understanding that we are being divided. And I think, and one of the things I said, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the interview I just did yesterday, and he got it up this morning. I couldn't believe it. Jeff Nelson, about COVID. He's like, Will Tuttle doesn't agree with the whole COVID thing. So I really like put it out there, a lot of what I think about. So we'll see what happens. It's gotten quite a few views, and so far it seems to be going okay. But I told him, it's just whatever our reputation is. We're so worried about our reputation, but we need to speak the truth also, and otherwise we don't have a life. And so I think, that underlying idea, and then the other idea that I emphasized is that whenever there are forces in a society that promote lies and deception, that's what causes division, right? I mean, we have all this division in the movement. It's like, well, why do we have all this division? It's because massive fear and lies have been pouring through the media, especially for the last 4 years, about germs and viruses and climate change and overpopulation and wars and all these different things. And so so much of it is lies. And so some people realize it's lies, other people don't realize it's lies, and so they start fighting with each other. And that's a divide and conquer strategy. So it's important for us, I think, to just understand this stuff is going on, and also understand, I didn't really mention this, but I think I should have, that it's a very sophisticated operation. It's kind of like fifth generation warfare, and these people who are doing it, they know what they're doing. I mean, they really weaponize our compassion and kindness against us, and they know how to weaponize our positive feelings to get us to fight with each other by saying, well, you're not wearing a mask and getting vaccinated, so you're selfish and you don't care about other people, and all these kinds of tactics that are very effective. And so I think underlying everything, we have to come back to the spirituality, and that's, I think, what's been missing in our movement, really. People go vegan and then they think, oh, I'm done, I'm perfect, I'm vegan, what else? Nothing else to do. And so we have to do the inner work, or we end up, the movement becomes very fragile and divided, and that's really a shame, because I think the vegan movement is one of the greatest, most probably the most important movement for human liberation that there is animal liberation. And so there are powerful forces that want to destroy this movement. And so it's really great to see, how things are going. And people like Jeff Nelson, I never really got along with him all that great, but now suddenly, like, wow, he's on the same side. All right, we'll talk about it, So it's make you know it's always these shifting kind of relationships that we have, but ultimately I think it's good to remember the bigger picture. Like I've said before, that after when the play is over, and the people are fighting and arguing maybe on the stage, and then they go, and then after the play is over, everybody goes backstage and they all congratulate each other on how well they played their part, and yeah, you did great, you were really nasty, I really got mad at you there, that was pretty cool how you did that. Because it's important for us to look beyond the surface level and remember that we have a spiritual connection that is our true nature. And when we have that, then fear starts to dissolve and we don't get so triggered by all these different things. And I think that's very important for us in the movement. So thanks so much, Gino, for bringing that up. Judy, yeah, you have a point you'd like to make? It's good to see you, by the way.
Good to see you too. So I was at the retreat, Carol
Oh yeah, right,
Lombard's
the great retreat
retreat
at
in
Unity Village.
October, the Unity
Right.
Village. And so you were talking about spirituality and how important it is in our movement, and it's growing. And I've in large part, I think, because of you getting that going, like back in 2000. Or maybe before that, But anyway, it was the overall message, and April was there, so she might want to chime in, but I think the overall message there was what you were saying. It's our true nature is veganism, is ahimsa, it's kind, loving kindness, and but that we've got to each work on our own issues, our own triggers, like you said, in order to find that inner core of stability and spiritual stability so that we can do what you're talking about and end these divisions. And Peter was actually there too
Oh,
at
was
the,
he?
yeah,
Oh,
he was. And so, and there were just amazing people there. I must say, and I think April would agree, just stellar people with just amazing ideas about how to grow spiritually and how to grow the movement and end all of this division.
You mean
So
speakers or just the people, the attendees, or?
everybody there, I mean, it was like I gave a talk and I'm like, I'm talking to people who, you know, all know what I'm saying. It was just it's just a remarkable group of people, and I just highly recommend anybody who wants to come next year because she does this every year. But I do believe that it is an indication that the spiritual aspect of veganism is growing, and it's so key because without it, we end up thinking, well, they know. They think they know better about how to create a vegan world and I know better and you know and all these this infighting and of course now with all the politics that makes it way worse. And so but if you get it down to the core of who we really are, our true nature as loving beings that are here to love, it like straightens it all out. And makes it so clear. And we're just, I mean, as vegans, we're just right there on the cusp of understanding that we're here to love. And so it's just, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. It made me think I want to mention how great that retreat
That
was.
retreat. Was there about like maybe 80 people, something like that, would you say? I have no idea. I'm just guessing, but
I think it was about 50,
about
I
50.
believe.
Good. I'm glad it's
Yeah,
been
it was
going.
great.
Yeah, I was at the first one, and I remember
Yes.
it was a great
Well, and
start.
also, we did before lunch every day, we stood in a circle and held hands and did our prayer, the worldwide
Oh,
prayer.
good.
Animals, yeah. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. So that was very special.
Thank you for the report. I appreciate that. And you mentioned Peter, so I'll just say that again. Peter Goldstein, the group. I see something in the chat about it was youdidit.health, and we had a few talks when we came through Cleveland last fall, and I told him, I think it's more important to focus on not that we did it, but to create a community, a vegan community. So he said, all right, yeah. So he's changed it to I think it's the vegan community dot something, either dot com or dot org. I can't remember, but that's what it is. The vegan community dot I think dot com maybe, and it's a platform. They're putting it together, and if you can get more involved, we'll see how it goes. But the whole idea is to have more interaction, to create something for everyone who's curious about veganism, plus vegans who are curious about all the different aspects, and to have passion pods where people discuss issues. And so there'll be like people that are into yoga, or people that are into activism, or people that are into health, or all the different, he's envisioning maybe, 400 or 500 different focus groups, because veganism is vast. There's so many. Some people might want to just get into diabetes or something, really kind of narrow. And I think it's a great idea, to have something that's based on people cooperating and sharing the information together and having classes. And we're gonna be having meditation. I think some of our, like maybe this first Thursday, we'll make it open to people on the vegan community, so they can join us if they like once it gets going. But anyway, so thanks, Judy. Yeah, that's great. All right, anyone else have anything you'd like to share or talk about? We have a few minutes before we actually have like 20 minutes. I'm happy to also share something that I was thinking about, which was, since we have the piano, to do a little bit with music and meditation and healing. So maybe I'll just do that because I was thinking about that. So what I wanted to share is the idea that we have these seven tone we have seven tones to the scale, and we have seven chakras and seven colors and seven planets, all the seven energy, and if we look at this the way the ancient mystics did, they were very much into meditation and music and spirituality and awakening and seeing everything as a vibratory reality, that we are vibratory beings, and that when we raise our vibration to a higher level, we can create a more harmonious society and life for ourselves. And so I've just been amazed, really, and fascinated with music my whole life. And I was born into a piano bench, I think, when I was born, Sam. But the piano, like I look at this piano, this keyboard, it's got the white keys, like if we're in the key of C. So there's seven keys, and then an octave, right? And so these are like amazing mathematical relationships. Like this is like if it's A, that this is 440, this is 880, this is 220, this is 110, this is 55. It's a doubling. So octaves are a doubling of the frequency, and then the perfect fourth and the perfect fifth are also exact, amazing fractions. I think it's 2 to 3 and 3 to 4. So the major fifth is G, if you're in the key of C, and the major fourth is F. So the Western music pretty much revolves around the fourth and the fifth, but there's all these other really very interesting mathematical relationships, like with the third and the minor third and the sixth and the seventh. Some of them are disharmonious, but they're really beautiful when you use them properly. Like this. This is called a tritone. It's like, you hate it. But it's also what creates the dominant seventh chord, which leads back home to the tonic, which is C. So if I play G, a G seventh, it has the tritone in it. Where does that want to go? All right. So, so the thing that's so powerful about music is that it's a journey. You start out home, right? You start, say, from the key of C. Started out at home, and then you go on a journey. This is, you go into the third, E minor, and then maybe you go to the fourth, and then maybe you go to the fifth, and then from the fifth, the tendency is to want to go back home. This is kind of how the mathematical relationships work, and also I think probably because this is what we're trained to expect. But this is very important because this is what our life is all about. Our life is all about a journey. We start out and we're wandering around and we're trying to get back home, and it's like so hard. And then there's all these, what happens in music all the time is you think you're gonna get home. But then it doesn't go there. Oh no, I went over here. Although, or maybe it'll be this. Oh, now we're going to a whole other key. And so there's infinite possibilities, but what it's all about is tension and resolution. And then we can try to get back home. we get back home again, maybe. But maybe we don't. Maybe we go somewhere else. But the idea of tension and resolution is really important. It's so profound because if we don't have any tension, there's no life. You know, if I just play C the whole, like, you know, stay in the tonic the whole time, and it's just boring. And the interesting thing is that very often when notes are in disharmony, like a tritone or like a note that's right next to each other, you know, like the E and the F, it's you think, that's terrible. But it's just like in our life. It's like sometimes the people we fight the most with are those that are right next to us. You know, we don't get along with them. We can get along easily with people that are far away, like over here. That's nice. I get along with him. I get along with him just fine. I get along with her, but well, that one, I can't get along with that one. But what's really neat is when it's really close together and there's a disharmony, when you have a larger community of notes, like a whole bunch of notes playing at the same time, listen, that disharmony creates this tremendous richness. You know, it makes a tremendous richness that so we have to understand that the conflict isn't bad. It brings something out, but it should be in a larger community, like the major sevenths, you know, the really, it's I think, but what we see in our society, though, unfortunately, I think, is a movement away from the basic, like from the basics, like of the classical tradition, the Romantic era, and so forth. They understood this, and there was a movement always to bring harmony, and to uplift the human spirit. And I think what happened in the 20th century, and still continuing in a lot of music. It's sort of this celebration of disharmony, of the like the blue, like creating you know, a lot of just disharmony and rhythms that are disempowering. Like a waltz rhythm is incredibly affirming and strengthening to the body. When we hear a waltz, like it's. See, that really, the whole body is just fed by that. But we have a lot of rhythms now, like the stopped anapestic, it's called, which is like a boom, 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 boom. And it's like the whole body is like getting weakened and harmed. And so I think we have to be aware of this, that the powers that shouldn't be, in a sense, create art and music and so forth that weaken us and create disharmony, make us uncomfortable. So it's very important to choose your music well and understand how these things work and understand the interaction of rhythms, of melodies, and of what we talked earlier is harmony. These are the three keys, you know, dimensions of music. There's these three things, the rhythm, melody, and harmony. So talking about harmony, like there's three, like in the key of C, for example, or any keys, there's three major and three minor keys, and then there's one diminished. So the major are the first 1, 4, and 5, C, F, and G. The minors are 2, 3, and 6. So that's D minor, E minor, and A minor. And so, and then there's the B, which is a diminished, one that starts on B. And so that creates tension, which is fantastic. So like, for example, if we listen to, say, one of the most favorite of all pieces of music, Pachelbel's Canon, right? It's played at all the weddings. You know, it's like, why is it so beloved? It's because it starts in the tonic at home. I can't remember how it goes. Let's see. And then it goes into to the fifth. Then it goes into a minor. To the major. That's like our life, you know. It's like a marriage. You know, marriage is, it's great. You're happy to be together, you know. But then, you know, there's challenges. And then you resolve it, and you go to a higher level. This is how we grow. This is the thing, you know. Music, it just goes through everything. It goes, it brings us, it can bring us into a completely different state of consciousness, because it works on this level of vibration, and at a deep level, it's about life. It's about our lives and our emotions. And I think it's just magnificent, really, how we can use and understand music for healing. And understanding our relationships, because all the notes are in relationship. You know, how do they get along? And it's all about the when one speaks and one is quiet and listening, you know. And I always say it would be a disaster if one of these notes, like say I'm playing a G, and then the G was told when it was a little baby note, now, well, G's, you know, G's don't get ahead in the world. You really should be an F sharp. Then when I go to play the G, it's not there. You know, it's like each one of us, in a sense, is a note. Each one of us is a unique note. And when we understand that, we are true to ourselves. We play our own note. And if everybody else plays their own note, don't try to be like somebody else. You know, be your own unique note. And then the great master musician, you know, the divine love that wants to flow through all of us, can then create beautiful harmonies together. But only if we stay true to ourself, stay true to the note that you are, be that note. Don't try to be somebody else, somebody else's note. That will ruin the whole thing. And I think this is the problem that we're facing in our society a lot today, is that people are afraid to just speak their own truth. And the notes do it, though. It's really nice to see. And then if it's a real problem, you find the beauty in it. So it's all about attention and resolution, and I think that's one of that's how, in a way, the globalists will also work to enslave us. We have to understand that also. Like, they'll create, like, I can create a lot of tension if I'm playing along here, like, and I never go back to C. If I just keep going, thank you. if I never go back there, it builds this tension. And I think they did this in COVID. You know, they just kept building the tension and making, telling us how terrible it is and how we have to wear masks and we're never going to get out of it unless the only way to resolve the tension was to get the vaccine, right? And so, it was almost like they were playing us like a musical instrument, like just keep playing this, increasing the tension more and more. And people go, all right, I'll get the dang vaccine then, you know, let me out of here. You know, so the idea, I think, really also for us is to be able to tolerate tension, you know, be able to tolerate it and not try to escape too quickly, to be able to tolerate ambiguity in situations. That's a really important thing. Usually we just want to like figure it out, like resolve it. But sometimes you just have to be able to hang out in not knowing, letting it be ambiguous, letting it be unresolved, just staying, just being and being aware, and then it will resolve. But not to push, not to be afraid and jump too quickly into a resolution. That can be a wounding if we do that. So anyway, that's my little, how are we doing? Yeah, I only have a couple of minutes. Does anyone have any questions or comments? But I think it's just so great to have this capacity. And I have to say, I am so grateful that my father taught me to play the piano. And I think that's, I think there's three reasons I'm really happy all the time. One is I have a fantastic, wonderful wife. One is I went vegan, and one is I can play the piano. I mean, it's like, what an incredible thing to be able to create music is just, to me, it's like, it's so wonderful. But anyway, yes, Andy, you have a question or a comment? And meditation, that's important too. Yeah, I have to say that.
Okay. Sorry, it was taking a second to unmute. First, that was so incredible. Just absolutely beautiful. The whole music and the story and everything, that it was literally everything you were saying just melted right with the music. It just went beautifully. And just a couple of comments. So I think the woman's name is Linda Middlesworth. So yeah. It was interesting to hear you say that, because I think that's what I was observing, was initially she was also upset with people, and then she seemed open to it. And I started seeing Jeff Nelson posting things about freedom. I'm like, yes, he's a freedom person too. So I would love to see the interview. Did you post it somewhere? Where did you post it? Because I would like to see that.
Oh, yeah. It's, let's see. I sent out an email to everybody, but you probably didn't get it. It maybe goes into your junk mail. But
oh, no. I get your email. So I probably just need to look further.
Yeah, yeah. But if you go, actually, if you go to just, actually, I linked it on my YouTube channel. So if you just go to YouTube and put in Will Tuttle, and then click on playlists and look under either interviews. It should be at the top of the list of interviews, or vegan life, I think it's called. That would be one place to find it.
Okay.
Or just put in just put a search in YouTube, Will Tuttle and Jeff Nelson. It'll probably come up, I would imagine.
I will do
but
that.
But it's there.
And just one more quick comment. Whoever is like banning you from going or not supporting you, what I feel right now from the music, from this, what we're doing here and everything, with the complete insanity of the world, will you and the people here just get me through? I cannot imagine life without you and the people here. I just can't imagine it. So those people are missing out on so much to not be open to, you know, and yet I have to wonder, are the vaccines or the drugs literally blocking their brain? I know Jason Kristoff, I think, has talked about things like that, like, and that they can't, it's like their brains are just being blocked. I don't know. Anyway, I've gone on too long. Thank you, everyone here.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, I appreciate your saying that. And I think, yeah, I mean, it is something I thought of, actually, that, oh, my gosh, you know, the people have been vaccinated, and maybe maybe some harm has been done, you know, because it does cross the blood-brain barrier and the blood clots and all this stuff. It's really tragic, actually, that's happening. But so we have to do our best and be understanding. You know, people are wounded and sometimes they can't think straight, you know, anymore. But thank you all for joining us. It looks like we are at our time. Madeline is right here, so maybe we can unmute our microphones
Hey, Michael.
and we can say
Hi.
our prayer together that we love so much. Here we go. Compassion
Compassion
circle
circle
the earth, all beings
everywhere.
everywhere. Again,
Compassion
circle
the
earth,
earth
for
all
beings
everywhere.
everywhere. Great. One more time with feeling.
Compassion
Compassion encircles
the
earth
earth
for all beings everywhere. Bless you all. We love
Oh, it
you.
is.
Thanks again for all your
Perfect.
work and look
Thank
forward to seeing
you
you on the third Thursday. All right. Go forth and
Sure.
multiply.
Madeline, look at
Woo-hoo! Oh, the wrist warmers. All right.
Hey. Nice and warm.
Yeah, we look forward to
I'm
seeing you in
loving them.
Sedona and
Yeah.
Prescott. That's right. We'll be there for Thanksgiving. We're having Thanksgiving
So good to see you all
in
then.
Sedona. Right. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thanks for being here.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We love you.
Love
Thank
together.
everyone. Love
Thank
you.
you.
Bye.
Thank you. Talk to you
Bye,
later.
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Oh.